In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. With the birth of Jesus Christ, the birth of the Son of God, we receive our salvation. Our salvation is received into us by the body of the woman Mary. God enters into the world intending to enter into all of us, so that after Christ is born, after he ascends the cross and destroys the power of death, God's salvation of us will no longer be as it was in the Old Covenant, a salvation of his people from the dangers of the world outside of themselves. But from that point on, God's salvation of us will be a salvation of us from within ourselves. And so everything is changed. Now, my salvation is a salvation that I can claim by doing battle within myself. The faith that I have in God is the same kind of faith that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the prophets and righteous ones of the Old Testament had, a faith in God's righteousness and his grace and his power. But now that faith is able to transform the world within myself, so that the enemies of God, who he once kept from triumphing against the people of God, out in the world, among the kingdoms, now can be prevented from triumphing within ourselves. God has not changed. The world works in the same way that God created it to work, with the exception of the fact that we are no longer subject to death and the fear of death. And so transformation is possible within us. But we as Western Christians, and even though we are Orthodox, we still remain people of the West, we have a fundamental misunderstanding of so many things when it comes to the reality of the world that God created. We've been influenced by Western ways of understanding and misunderstanding our relationship to God. One of them has to do with our misunderstanding of God's grace. At the beginning of the Divine Liturgy, we pray those little litanies, and each time we pray the great litany and then the two litanies that follow it, the two little litanies, we say, God, have mercy on us and save us and keep us by thy grace. By thy grace. Almost every one of us misunderstands what that means, being saved by the grace of God. Now, it could be salvation by the grace of God, as it was for the people of the Old Covenant. In St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, we hear his litany of all of those great ones of the Old Testament, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, and those who fought in battle and were sustained by God, by their faith in God's mercy. And today, ourselves, our transformation, which is made possible by the destruction of the power of death by the Son of God on the cross, and our faith in Jesus Christ, is something that is accomplished by God's grace. Unfortunately, we have inherited a way of thinking about the grace of God that makes our reception of God's transforming grace a very iffy business. The Western understanding of the nature of grace treats God as though he were a distant ruler, outside of the universe. We are here in the created world. He is there outside of the created world. And between us, there is this incredible gulf. And God on his throne, the uncreated God, outside of the realm of creation, sends his grace into this world like a command. And we think of the way that God created the world in the first place. All he has to do is say that it is so, and it is so. And so we are saved by the grace of God. God issues a decree, and things change. There are Protestant Christians who understand grace in exactly that kind of way. Nothing changes in us. God issues a decree. We are counted righteous, and we are saved by God's grace. And for them, it means that God has said we are righteous because of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and so we are righteous. We are saved by God's grace. Many times, as an Orthodox priest, I cringe within myself when I pray those prayers, thinking to myself, this is how people are hearing these things. Whenever we say grace, they are thinking of this idea of some kind of power that isn't God himself, but is some kind of power that he issues forth from himself and sends into the world that changes things. Some boon, like a great king of the olden times in the Middle Ages, would grant a boon by his power, what he says, as the Pharaoh in the Exodus movie says, I have said it, and so it will be done. It is done by my grace, by my authority, by my power. That isn't what grace means. It's not like that at all. The traditional understanding of the nature of grace is that grace is what St. Gregory Palamas calls the divine energies of God in the world. The divine energy of God in the world is what Orthodox mean by grace. They are the same thing. We are saved by the divine energy of God acting in the world. In the Old Testament, it was by the divine action of God in the world that saved people from the disasters that St. Paul is talking about. The Western understanding is that God is outside of the world. And the Orthodox, when they talk about God's energies being present in the world, are almost pantheists, believing that the world and God are the same thing. And we say, no, that's not true. We know that God is absolutely outside of the world in his nature, by his nature, in his essence. He is different from the world that he created. There is this fundamental difference between the created world and the uncreated God. But he created the world in such a way that it only lives because of his presence in the world. He didn't create a world that can live and continue to exist with no contact from himself. It is outside of him as God. He created the world separate from him, but the world is such that it lives by his energies. God literally is the life of the world. It's not a metaphor. Christ is the life of the world. Yes, he is the life of the world. But God was the life of the world even before the birth of Christ. The world lives by the divine energies of God present in the world. And it's the same with us as human beings. We live by the grace of God. If there is no grace of God in us, we die. That was the problem. Turning away from God. Losing the presence of God's divine energy within us, to sustain us, we die. Now, God was able to sustain his people externally in the Old Testament. He protected them. He defended them. But inside, there was still this emptiness, this lack of the presence of the grace of God, this lack of the presence of the divine energy that is the life of the world. And so they died. Death had to be overcome. Christ overcame the presence of death in the world. He became one of us. He took on death. It could not take him. And now our situation is this. We have to fight the same sorts of battles that the people of God in the Old Testament fought outside in the world against the enemies of the people of Israel. Those battles are internal battles that every Christian must fight if we are going to have the grace of God, the life of God himself within us. And our temptation is going to be to try to live without that grace of God, without the divine energies of God present within us. We are taught that there is, on the one hand, divine energy of God himself. On the other hand, as a human being, we also have an energy. There is such a thing as human energies, and we all have human energies. Our human energies must cooperate with God's divine energies. We call it synergy. The Roman Catholics and the Protestants deny this. The nature of salvation, Orthodox say, is that it is possible because of Jesus Christ having overcome the power of death for us to have our human energies cooperate with God's own energies. And if we don't cooperate with God's own energies, if we choose to try to live without cooperation with God, we are going against the way God created the world and us. The world is sustained by its life, which is God, the divine energies of God himself running through all of the world, making it be God's creation, keeping it living. We are created in the same way. We can still, even though we are Christians and believe in our minds, although not yet in our hearts, in Jesus Christ and all of the teachings. But if we reject cooperation with God and attempt to live on our own separate from him, we still have death in ourselves. We are not living the life that God has given us to live. Every time we pray to God, have mercy on us, save us, and keep us by thy grace, we are referring to the divine energies of God that it is necessary for us to have united and cooperating with our own human energies. And in the course of our daily lives, there is not one moment where it isn't necessary for our human energy and life to cooperate with the divine energy of God. That is how we go about living at one with God, from moment to moment, from encounter to encounter with other persons. And the temptation will be to turn away from that cooperation and to try to build up this imaginary self, to glorify ourselves, use our human energies without cooperating with God, rejecting him, turning our back on him, and enjoying the adulation of others whenever others notice us and affirm us in some kind of way that has nothing to do with God. That is the content of our spiritual struggle. The battle has already been won. We are about to celebrate the birth of the one who liberates us from a life in bondage to this imaginary being. What if it were that I were God? We have been liberated from death. We have been liberated from from bondage to this world. And we celebrate the birth of the one true King, the one who has brought grace into the world within the human being, born within a woman, born into the world in order to bring all of us into oneness with God, so long as we are willing to cooperate and to affirm God as God and stand down, bowing before Him, offering the gifts of our own life, like the wise men who came and honored Him. This is the critical moment in human history. And every time we consider the birth of God into the world and the necessity for His living within us and cooperation with ourselves as we cooperate with Him, it is the critical moment of our return to our rebirth in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.